Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on their upcoming auction of 201 acres in Douglas County, Illinois, is at murraywiseassociates.com or at 217-398-6400.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of March 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vank. She's at Stewart Peterson right here in Champaign County. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. An update on those dry conditions as they continue to develop in the western part of the United States. And as Drew will tell us, a bit of concern in the west. Western Corn Belt. Along the way, Dave Dickey will update you on the agricultural news for the afternoon, and we'll hear from the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture about the ARC and PLC sign-up on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take a look now at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were higher for the day. May contract at 374 and three quarters, up 3 3/4. July at 382 and three quarters, up 3 3/4. And September contract at 390.5, that's up 3 3/4 as well. December corn futures, $4 even, up 3 1/4 for the day. The March at 409.5, up 2 3/4. Next year's May at 416.25, up 2 3/4. Soy complex, May beans up 10.5 cents at $9.65. July at 969 3/4, up 10 1/4, and the August at 969 1/4, 10 cents higher. November beans 950 3/4, up 10 3/4. The January at 955 1/2, up 10 1/2 for the day. The soybean meal for the afternoon up $3.30 at 320.80, and the bean oil at 30.63, 59 cents higher. Chicago wheat in the May at 510 3/4, up 7 1/4. July at 514 1/4, up 7 1/2 cents. In Kansas City, up 10 1/4 at 553 in the May. The harvest month July for the hard red at 558 3/4, up 10 1/4. Live cattle futures for the day: April contracted 156.57 1/2, up the $3 limit. June followed suit at 148.47 1/2. The feeder cattle and the April at 214.32 1/2, up 275. April though up $4.40 at 214.42 1/2. And the lean hogs finished down a dollar to nickel at $60.72 1/2.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.
Checking the outside markets at this hour, April crude oil at $44.46 a barrel, a dollar higher for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.77 even, that's up 7 6/10 of a cent. And the gasoline on the wholesale price, the RBOB, at $1.79 1/2, up 6 1/2 cents for the day. Natural gas at $2.91 1/2, 6 cents higher. And ethanol futures, their settlement price for the afternoon at $1.45 6/10, up 3 3/10 of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average about 150 points higher at this hour, 18,011. The gold futures around $1,164 a troy ounce, up $16.25, and the U.S. dollar at 98.795. That's down 1.154 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Cloudy skies, a high of 48 degrees. Tonight, cloudy, a low of 34. Tomorrow, 40% chance of rain. That'll come after 1 in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy, a high of 52. And Thursday night, a 40% chance of rainfall before 1 a.m. Cloudy with a low of 37. Friday, cloudy and gradually turning to sunshine with a high of 57. Friday night, clear and 38. And Saturday, we'll have sunny skies with a high of 60 degrees. Saturday night, clear and 29. Sunny on Sunday and 46. Monday, partly sunny and 43. And Tuesday, sunny skies and 49 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Let's turn our attention at this hour to the marketplace directly here on the Closing Market Report. We're joined on a Wednesday by Jackie Vick. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Oh, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me just a little bit about the uptick in the marketplace today. This was turnaround Tuesday, I guess, as opposed to the Monday we had yesterday.
Except today's Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. It would be helpful if I had the right day of the week. Holy smokes. Huh?
That's a pretty good one. I'm glad to know I'm not the only one that does
it. It has been a very, very, very busy week. Okay, so it is not turnaround Tuesday. You know where I want to start, though? Let's start with the Federal Reserve, because Janet Yellen was in front of the microphones today. What did she say?
And Yellen's comments certainly are part of why we saw what we did today. I think that what did she have to say? She said, you know, that they've taken patience out of the conversation. Potential increases, though, I was a little disappointed, because they were talking about potentially going to a 1.125, you know, after the December meeting, and now they're talking cutting that back and going to 0.625. Well, none of us really want to see an interest rate rise higher, and yet that concerns me as to, I guess, you know, the health of our economy in terms of saying, well, you know, should this really be the way it is? And I think part of that is because we've had such strength in the dollar. Now, right after she spoke, of course, the dollar has dropped back to 98.20, and you know, that's not a surprise. I think we saw a lot of profit taking. We saw a lot of short covering come into the grains because of it. Beans were supported. We heard that China bought 18 cargoes, very much under the radar this past week. You know, they must be pretty good at that, I guess. But, you know, you looked at the dollar being at those 12-year highs, and it's certainly concerning. And so I expected that they would probably talk the way that they did. But now the question will it be in June, which is normally when they do something like that in the past anyway, or will they push it off and, you know, wait again until we get into the fall before they really do something? But this is, you know, the whole world, all the world economies were watching very closely to see what she was going to say, and for good reason. When you look in Germany, you know, we've got all kinds of anti-austerity protests going on in Germany, which we hadn't seen in a long time, and some of that is related, of course, to this bailout that's still not settled for Greece. And so the German people, who are the largest holders of Greece's debt, are not exactly happy with the way things are. You look at the rest of the world, you know, Brazil's economy, they came out today and said they actually expect it to contract by 0.5%. You know, they're just being dogged by this whole Petrobras thing. And Dilma's in trouble. She's probably in big trouble, but it's unlikely she's going to get kicked out from, you know, at least when you look at what the ruling party situation is. But even their treasurer now has been found to be involved in Petrobras. And today, the Swiss sent back $120 million that had been swindled from the government. So at least there's a start there. But you know, there's issues all over the world. So they were watching to see how the, you know, what the U.S. is doing, and I would think that we'll probably see some more investment in the dollar as we go a little bit further down the road.
Other outside marketplaces you're concerned about? Of course, the Russians have had trouble on the Ukrainian border, or maybe we could say the Ukrainians have had trouble on the Russian border.
Depends
on which side you want to look at that. I mean, the Russians look at it.
That's a better way to put it. I think it's interesting to see Putin today. Putin was out talking about how, oh, you know, Russia has regained part of their historic roots by doing in Crimea what they've done, you know. And so he's very proud of what he's done in Crimea. On the opposite side, when you look at what's happening to their economy because of this, GM has announced that they're pulling out their car manufacturing out of Russia. They said the demand has just gone to nothing because the economy is in such tough shape. And, you know, a number of weeks back, you and I talked about the beer situation, you know, that the beer companies were suffering because the economy was so bad. Now it's the cars. Vodka's got to be the next thing coming, I'm telling you. It's a serious, serious situation over there. And Mr. Putin, I believe, is quite insulated from all the problems. It's his people that have to suffer. It's no different in Brazil. It's no different in Argentina. Citibank is no longer going to make the bond payments for Argentina, they announced. because of this international arguments that are going on between Argentina and the bondholders here in the United States, who say, well, you know, we're not going to settle for pennies on a dollar. You signed up for this. You signed on the bottom line saying you're going to pay it. That's the way it's going to be. And so Citibank said, we just don't want to be involved anymore. We're going to turn it over to somebody else. And so there's plenty of unrest generally all over the world at the moment.
Well, let's come back to the marketplace at hand. The United States looking to import, I guess, a couple of different items. Both pork and corn are coming in to the U.S. now.
That's exactly right. You know, and corn and meal both have arrived on the East Coast. That'll be interesting to see on the April S&D if we actually see them increase imports, and I would expect they will if the dollar stays strong. They're estimating right now that pork imports into the U.S. are going to be up 25% in 2015. This is really not good news for us, you know, because we at the same time are expanding the pork industry and putting more pounds of pork right here on the ground in the U.S., and so it makes it harder for us to sell it somewhere else and easier for people who manufacture to buy it in from somewhere else, especially I would think out of Canada is where most of it will come. And so the dollar, when you looked at what Yellen had to say, they've got to be very concerned about the dollar situation and that balancing act that we always have to, you know, that's a tightrope you walk between whether or not you kick in some inflation when you're already having some issues with the export situation. And then, you know, yesterday's big push down in the markets came because there was a lot of tweeting going on about the bird flu and the impact that bird flu could possibly have in general, you know, on the overall picture for demand for poultry. We've been fortunate. You know, we haven't seen it in the eastern flyway yet, and let's hope we don't, you know, because that would really be devastational. But there's just a lot of things in the background that we have to be aware of. That's why anybody who hasn't done anything, you know, they need to take advantage of opportunities that present themselves and, you know, give themselves strategies so that they've got an opportunity to get out of it if something really turns itself around, like the weather. But, you know, we look at the acreage report coming at the end of the month, Todd, and there's just so many questions. Dave asked me this morning. He had seen a survey, and I think they had 87.2 million acres of beans and 88.3 million acres of corn. And, you know, that's 175.5 million acres. That's a lot of acres considering where the prices are right now. So it'll be interesting to see if we actually confirm something like that. And at the same time, we're hearing things like land coming up for rent. I had one of my guys tell me that basically, you know, this land is 1,500 acres came up last week, 1,000 acres came up on Monday this week, and it's because bankers are not, they're just saying, we're not going to lend you any more money. You've got to give up land is what you've got to do. And so they're going back to the landlords and saying, here. And so there are also a lot of things going on out in the country due to the price situation that we're in.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time with us. We'll talk with you again in a week.
You betcha. Thank you, Todd. Have a good one.
That's Jackie Beck. She's with Stuart Peterson out of Champaign County. Speaking of Dave, he's here now with today's Ag News.
The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development says that it is nudging up its forecast for global economic growth this year amid low interest rates, inflation, and oil prices in some major countries. The OECD says that loose monetary policy has helped underpin growth, but warns a total reliance on that tool could strain the financial system. The Paris-based organization now expects 4% annual growth in overall gross domestic product. That's up 1/10 percentage point from its last forecast in November. The OECD says that the U.S. dollar's appreciation against other major currencies is contributing to low inflation in the world's largest economy and could weaken growth by dampening exports. It expects the U.S. Federal Reserve to delay its first rise in interest rates, which many economists have been expecting to take place in June, until there are signs that Europe's economies are strengthening. Kraft Foods is recalling about 6.5 million boxes of original flavor Kraft macaroni and cheese because some of the boxes contain small pieces of metal. The boxes have best when used by dates ranging from September 18th through October 11th, 2015, and are marked with the code C2. They were sold throughout the U.S., Puerto Rico, and in some countries in the Caribbean and South America. The recall covers 7.25-ounce boxes that were sold individually and in packs of 3, 4, and 5. Analysts say that U.S. farmers will likely use less high-priced nitrogen fertilizer this season, even though the price of natural gas, the key ingredient to make it, is down 40% from last year. But the price of anhydrous ammonia, a popular nitrogen fertilizer, remains high in the Midwest, around $650 to $700 a ton. The disparity between the steep cost of fertilizer and the lower cost of natural gas is because fertilizer inventories remain thin due to 2014 shipping backlogs. Farm Futures magazine today predicts that U.S. farmers will plant 87.25 million acres of soybeans this spring, the most on record. The survey's corn figure is down 2.5% to 88.34 million acres and would represent the smallest corn acreage since 2010. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. In agricultural news, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development says that it is nudging up its forecast for global economic growth this year amid low interest rates, inflation, and oil prices in some major countries. The OECD says that loose monetary policy has helped underpin growth, but warns a total reliance on that tool could strain the financial system. The Paris-based organization now expects 4% annual growth in overall gross domestic product. That's up 1/10 percentage point from its last forecast in November. The OECD says that the U.S. dollar's appreciation against other major currencies is contributing to low inflation in the world's largest economy and could weaken growth by dampening exports. It expects the U.S. Federal Reserve to delay its first rise in interest rates, which many economists have been expecting to take place in June, until there are signs that Europe's economies are strengthening. Kraft Foods is recalling about 6.5 million boxes of original flavor Kraft macaroni and cheese because some of the boxes contain small pieces of metal. The boxes have best when used by dates ranging from September 18th through October 11th, 2015, and are marked with the code C2. They were sold throughout the U.S., Puerto Rico, and in some countries in the Caribbean and South America. The recall covers 7.25-ounce boxes that were sold individually and in packs of 3, 4, and 5. Analysts say that U.S. farmers will likely use less high-priced nitrogen fertilizer this season, even though the price of natural gas, the key ingredient to make it, is down 40% from last year. But the price of anhydrous ammonia, a popular nitrogen fertilizer, remains high in the Midwest, around $650 to $700 a ton. The disparity between the steep cost of fertilizer and the lower cost of natural gas is because fertilizer inventories remain thin due to 2014 shipping backlogs. Farm Futures magazine today predicts that U.S. farmers will plant 87.25 million acres of soybeans this spring, the most on record. The survey's corn figure is down 2.5% to 88.34 million acres and would represent the smallest corn acreage since 2010. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, that second program we record on Thursday afternoons, posted to our website at willag.org. On Thursday evenings, air it here on our radio stations on Friday afternoon. Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of commodity agriculture. Now, up next, you know, the U.S. Department of Agriculture continues to implement the 2014 Farm Bill. Less than 1 month ago, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack extended the deadline for farmers to sign up for the safety net programs under the new Farm Bill. That until the end of this month, March 31st. The Secretary says there are two different steps.
Owners being able to take a look at their base acres and reallocate acres and also to take a look at their yield history and make sure that that's up to date, they have until March 31st. And about 85% of owners that we anticipate will use that opportunity have done so. So that's good forward progress in that area. Then there is the election that producers have to make, whether or not they're going to do the agricultural risk coverage program or the price loss coverage program. We would estimate about 58% or so of the likely participants in making that decision have already made the decision and have already communicated that to their local FSA office. So there is good progress there as well, but people need to be aware of that March 31 deadline coming up pretty soon.
The U.S. Secretary of Agriculture also says it's important when making decisions between ARC and PLC to remember it's for the life of this farm bill.
This is not a year-to-year decision where you can change. You do have options under the current system of distinguishing between farms that you may own and operate that have separate FSA numbers. You can have ARC on one and PLC on another, but once you make that determination and it's locked in, it's locked in for the life of the Farm Bill.
For those who need it, online tools are still available. Check out the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu or just type in Farm Bill Toolbox and you'll find the University of Illinois Farm Bill Tools. Now, Tom Vilsack says staff at FSA, too, have had over 5,500 activities with producer groups to make sure they have the information they need to make these important decisions.
There's also computer models on our website at usda.gov under the FSA banner. You'll be able to plug your numbers in from your own operation, make certain projections, and figure out what might be best for you per farm. So we would encourage folks who haven't made the decision to do that.
Vilsack reiterates the deadline to decide between ARC and PLC is March 31st. It is a Wednesday. I'm Todd Gleason. Let's check the cash grain market. Alex Reed is on the phone from the Climbers facility there that belongs to the Andersons near Logansport, Indiana. Alex, thanks for being with us. Tell me about basis, movement, and your bids for the day, please.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Todd. Let's see. Basis kind of steadily improving. It's slowed down over the past several weeks. We've really been running up there. Right now at Climbers, we're posted option price. Everybody around is getting close to option, paying small overs, trying to get some corn moving, looking forward really for corn especially. We feel like basis could fall off, especially next month. A lot of people out there, a lot of commercial users have, you know, big piles on the ground that they need to get moved. We'll just have a lot of corn movement within the next month, and we just feel like basis could get a little bit weak at that point.
So. That would seem odd, but I'm guessing that that corn is in reserve and they're looking to fill their bins with something from the marketplace and farmers at this time and then say, hey, you're in the field, we're going to use what we have on hand, right?
Right, right,
okay.
Yes.
Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Oatmeal Cookie Day. Oats was one of the earliest cereals cultivated by humankind. They were known in ancient China as long ago as 7,000 BC and in Europe around 3,000 years ago. By the way, oatmeal cookies are the number one non-cereal use for oatmeal, followed by meatloaf and cakes and pies. On this day in agricultural history in 1834, the first U.S. railroad tunnel was completed between Hollidaysburg and Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Driven through slate, the Staple Bend Tunnel was 901 feet long, 25 feet wide, and 21 feet high, and lined throughout with masonry 18 inches thick. In 1853, Rudolf Diesel was born. He invented the internal combustion engine. Diesel threw himself over the rail of an English Channel steamer in 1913 after losing control of his invention and receiving criticism in German engineering journals. In 1863, women rioted in Salisbury, North Carolina, to protest the lack of flour and salt in the Confederacy. And in 1920, Wesley Buscelli was born, an agricultural engineer. His 25 patents includes the farm forage handling machine that has produced the familiar large round hay bales in U.S. fields since the 1960s. He also developed rollover protective devices for tractors. And while a professor at Iowa State University, he originated the first course in the U.S. on agricultural safety. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, tell me a little bit more about the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the United States. Should be coming out of dormancy. I don't believe it went in the best of condition, and then it may not be coming out in the best of conditions either.
Well, it does look as though there's a potential for the crop to have a tough go at it for a little while here. Indeed, we did have a little bit of a threatening autumn season. The crop wasn't in ideal shape when it did go dormant. There was a risk of a little bit of winter kill periodically during the cold season. Now we are still dealing with some dryness. Last 30 days, well below average precipitation from parts of Oklahoma into Nebraska. And we've seen this all happen fairly often as we went through the winter season, but we managed to get some timely precipitation, some snow events, and things seem to be okay. But we are dealing with some warmer temperatures periodically now. In fact, as we go from Friday through Sunday, temperatures will be in the 60s and 70s again after being in the 80s to over 90 degrees earlier this week. So the warmer temperature certainly is evaporating moisture quickly, and we do need to see bigger storm systems impacting the region. All we have right now in the chart is just a little bit of brief moments of light precipitation periodically over the next week, which will probably do more harm than good because it'll stimulate new crop development, and then the crop will start looking for more moisture and become stressed. So we'll have to continue to watch the area closely.
Is that going to cause a problem, do you suppose, in the western Corn Belt at all?
I do think that the same scenario is playing out across the western Corn Belt. The dryness from Oklahoma and Nebraska extends up through Iowa, northern Missouri, the eastern Dakotas, and Minnesota and Wisconsin, even northwestern Illinois. All these areas are running a little low on moisture for the last 30 days. But this is still cold season weather, so I'm not quite sure that that's really all that dramatic. But if we don't do better with precipitation the next few weeks, it becomes suddenly something of a bigger issue. And there's already some noise in the marketplace about the fact that it's still dry in the western Corn Belt, and the fact that we're going to see a dry summer in the northern plains adds to that worry.
If you move to the south, the Delta region had been cool and wet both. Will they have conditions in which they can begin to plant corn and or soybeans in the next few weeks?
They are going to see better conditions later next week, but for the next week to 10 days, it's not a pretty picture for the Delta or southeastern states. We expect precipitation to occur fairly often. from now through the first part, well, actually through now through the weekend, and then we'll see a little bit of a break early to midweek next week, and more rain Thursday and Friday of next week, and then another break. So it'll be a while before they get on track with their planting progress.
Anything we should know about central Illinois and east central Illinois, west central Indiana at this time?
At this point, I think it's fairly neutral weather, but we'll have to watch quite closely when we get into April. The odds are fairly good that this wet bias we just talked about in the Delta and the southeast will lift northward and start impacting at least the southern half of Illinois and central and southern Indiana and central and southern Ohio as we get into the heart of April. So we'll be watching for that real closely. We could have some delay in field work here as well.
Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated. I'm Todd Gleason.